Good morning, everyone. Please open your Bibles to Ephesians 6, where we've been for the past few weeks. These words may be becoming very familiar to you as we keep going through them, but do not worry about that. That is obviously a good thing. When Jesus met with Satan in the wilderness, Satan tried to tempt him, and Jesus' response was with Scripture. These verses that we are reading are about spiritual warfare, about the devil out to attack and devour and destroy you. So having these verses committed to memory will serve you very well indeed. And so we'll read Ephesians 6, 10 to 20, and it will come up on the screen behind me if that is most helpful for you. Finally, be strengthened by the Lord and by his vast strength. Put on the full armor of God, so that you can stand against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this darkness, against evil, spiritual forces in the heavens. For this reason, take up the full armor of God, so that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having prepared everything to take your stand. Stand therefore, with truth like a belt around your waist, righteousness like armor on your chest, and your feet sandaled with readiness for the gospel of peace. In every situation, take up the shield of faith, with which you extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray at all times in the Spirit with every prayer and request, and stay alert with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints. Pray also for me, that the message may be given to me when I open my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. For this I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I might be bold enough to speak about it as I should. I'll just read verse 16 again. Verse 16 is where we'll be focused today. In every situation, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Amen. I want you to think for a moment of how you hold a shield when you are under attack. The attack Paul is speaking about here, he calls it flaming arrows, or you might have flaming missiles coming at you. And so you take up your shield, and as you take up a shield, you're going to want your shield to be strong, of course. If someone was to fire flaming arrows at me, I reckon this pulpit would do a pretty good job. It's actually pretty sturdy, as I think it wouldn't go on fire. And so if you want to fire a flaming arrow at me, now is the time. After the sermon, please know. This would do a decent job, or if you had an ancient Roman shield, then you'd be in good luck. But you would hate to go into a battle where there's flaming arrows being fired at you, and you just grab the nearest thing you find, and you just have a piece of kitchen roll to hold up. Or maybe a little better, you get a book, and maybe that can do one or two arrows, but then they'll come at you. Or you find the person next to you, and you grab them, and you go like this. And just 3 or 4 hours down and they'll be gone and you'll be under attack. If you're going to come under attack from flaming arrows fired right at you, you want to make sure your shield is strong. Because you don't have a choice whether the arrows are going to come or not. That's something you don't have any control over. The devil is out there to get you, to devour you and to destroy you. And you can't change that. The thing you can change is the shield that you protect yourself with. What you choose for that shield to be made of, and how strong it is. Verse 16, we see that the shield Paul calls us to take up is the shield of faith. And this shield of faith will extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. As you think of a shield, perhaps faith is not the word you would have chosen. You want something like steel. You want something incredibly strong. And as you think on your faith, faith doesn't scream strength to you. Faith as a word in popular culture often means something quite different than what the Bible speaks of it. Often faith is just a shorthand for some kind of method of positive thinking. You go into a situation, you're supporting your football team in the World Cup, and someone says, just have faith that they'll do okay. Or you go to the doctor's surgery and you're waiting on the results, and you say, just have faith. It'll be fine. And the word faith is just sort of bandied around as some sort of plaster, hoping that will heal the wound. But that's not strong. That sort of positive thinking is nothing to build a shield out of. Or again, in popular culture today, when people think of faith, what they really mean is some sort of manifesting. You know, I see this future for myself ahead. I see what's going to happen, and I'm going to claim it, and I'm going to walk into it and step into it, and I'm going to live it. But again, it doesn't work, and it falls short. And a single flaming arrow will defeat it. Faith then needs to be something stronger, something more resilient than whatever the world thinks faith is. Faith, as the Bible describes it, is not a positive way of thinking. It is not something you just sort of name and claim. But faith in the Bible is, well, it is described in a few different ways, but it is this. It is a trust and a belief in God that leads to action and obedience. Faith is a trust and belief in God that leads to action and obedience. You can think of it like this. Perhaps on your bucket list, you have bungee jumping. You know, you've watched people go up on those incredibly high platforms. You've seen them throw themselves down, and you think, yeah, I want to do some of that. And so you go, you book the bungee jump, you go up to the platform, and as you do so, quite naturally, you probably have a little look around. Does this look safe? Do the things that are meant to be attached to things look like they're attached to things? You'll get some sort of harness on you, you'll get some sort of long cord on you, and you will make an assessment in your head. Does this feel safe? But at that point, before you've jumped off, all you've done there is somewhere in your intellect you have assessed the facts and come to some sort of conclusion. But you haven't had faith in the cord yet. Unless you have a very different translation to me, Paul doesn't say take up the shield of an intellectual assessment of the facts. He says take up the shield of faith. And so you can only actually claim to have that faith in the cord once you leap off the platform. Faith, true faith, is a belief, a trust in God that leads to action and obedience. You can only then claim to have faith in God if that actually leads you to give your life to Him, to follow Him, to walk in obedience, to do as He has commanded you. That is true faith, a belief and trust in God that leads to action and obedience. And so that faith, that is the shield that you are called to bear. But you might think, well, if that's the shield I'm meant to bear, well, my faith doesn't seem very strong. Because perhaps you sit here, and actually that first part of what faith is, that trust and belief in God, is something you find incredibly difficult. That somewhere that you believe in God, but your mind is racked with doubt all the time. Doubt over whether God is real at all. Doubt over whether He is truly good. Doubt over whether Jesus really died. Doubt over whether He really rose again. Doubt over whether He really loves you. And so if you want to hold up your own faith as a shield, you think, well, my shield's not going to be very strong. My faith is weak. My doubts are huge. And so a couple of arrows, flaming arrows from the evil one, and your shield will fall to pieces. Or perhaps you look at that second part of faith, the action and obedience, and you think, well, I really do believe and trust in God, but when you look at my life, it maybe tells a different story. I haven't obeyed and I haven't followed as much as I would like to. And so if I've got to hold up to fight against the devil with my own action and my own obedience, you think, oh, I've got no chance. The devil very quickly is going to win that fight. Perhaps you will see that if you are called to bear your own shield of faith and it is purely dependent on your own faith, that you will not win the battle. That your faith is too weak. That your faith is not strong enough for these arrows firing at you day after day. And so as Paul tells you, in every situation, take up the shield of faith. You feel like you're holding up something flimsy. That simply won't do. And so you wonder, Paul, how am I going to do this then? Well, a very weak faith in a very strong Savior beats an incredibly strong faith in a very weak Savior every day of the week. I think back to the story of David and Goliath. Now, the point has gotten to the battle where the two armies are sending up their warriors. The Philistines are sending up Goliath. They're sending up the biggest and the best that he has. He is huge. He strikes fear into everybody. And so as the Philistines put Goliath forward, they stand behind him and they have big smiles on their faces. They think the war's going to be over tomorrow. We'll go home for dinner and we're going to have a merry time. They have absolute certainty of faith that Goliath is going to win the battle. And think of the Israelites. Not a single one of them wanted to step forward until David came along. And so they sort of send David forward to fight for them, but they're cowering, they're shaking. It is their last resort. They wanted to have a big warrior, somebody who looked just like Goliath, to go and fight for them. But they send David through as their last resort, and they think this is only going to end one way. We are not going home to dinner tomorrow. We are going to be slaves to the Philistines forever. The Philistines had a strong faith, and the Israelites had a weak faith. But the question that made the difference was, who was their faith placed in? For the Israelites, their faith was placed in David, God's chosen Savior. And so they were victorious. No matter how strong their faith was, they were victorious. Their shield of faith was enough because their Savior was enough. And so friends, as you think of your own shield of faith, if it feels flimsy or weak, do not worry. It would be great for your faith to grow and to build. But do not worry, if your faith is placed in Jesus Christ, the very strong Savior, the only Savior, then your shield of faith is incredibly strong. It is invincible. And I know that is true, because faith in Christ is faith in Christ who has already beaten the devil. Again, thinking of Jesus in the wilderness. He's been there for 40 days. He has fasted for 40 days. He ought to be at his weakest point, and the devil sees this as an opportunity to go after him. Hey, Jesus, turn these stones into bread so that you may eat. Jesus, throw yourself down off this mountain. Or throw yourself down off this temple. Jesus, bow down and worship me. The devil fires his flaming arrows at Jesus, giving him everything he's got at what ought to be Jesus' weakest moment. But Jesus remains strong. He remains sure. His shield does not waver. It is not flimsy. It is strong. And so if you're going to put your faith in anybody to fight against the devil, put your faith in Jesus who has beaten him. Not only in the wilderness, but throughout his ministry. Casting out demons, freeing people from slavery and oppression. You see him beat the devil time after time. The devil is not one to give up lightly, and so the devil keeps going after Jesus. And in the week leading up to Jesus' death, the devil enters Judas. And you can think at this point the devil is rubbing his hands. He thinks, I've got Judas. I've got one of Jesus' closest followers. Now I can enact my plan, and what's going to happen is Jesus is going to die, and then I am going to be the one who wins. Judas betrays Jesus. Jesus goes to the cross, and Jesus hangs there and dies. Think of the glee and the joy on the devil's face at that moment. He thinks he's done it. He thinks he's finally defeated Jesus. Think of the smile wiped off his face 3 days later when the tomb is found to be empty. Think of his disappointment, his despair, as he sees that once again Jesus has defeated him. Think of his shame and his disappointment as the women come to the tomb and find it empty and go home and preach the good news of Jesus. Think of his disappointment as he sees this good news of Jesus go forth and transform lives. Jesus has defeated Satan. And so if you're going to place your faith in anybody, you do not need to place it in your own obedience or even your own belief. Whatever level of faith you have, if you place your faith in Jesus Christ, your shield of faith is incredibly strong. Paul could have chosen many words to put after shield. And it is not just Jesus' faith that beats the devil. But he's chosen the word faith because Paul has shown us already in Ephesians how faith beats the devil, how faith extinguishes the flaming arrows of the evil one. The first of those I want you to see, if you want to flick back to Ephesians 2. Verse 8 tells us that faith saves us. For you are saved by grace through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is God's gift. Your faith is what saves you. Your salvation is through faith. If you cast your mind back to verses 1 to 3 there, we'll see something more. What you'll see is that Satan used to look at you with pure joy. Satan used to really delight in thinking about you. It brought him so much pleasure because he thought you were his. Not the sort of pleasure that a father might have for their child, a delight in them. The sort of pleasure you might have on your face as you go to eat that pizza. You're going to devour it. It's going to be all for you. That is how Satan looked at you, with pure pleasure and delight, because he thought you were his. And you can see why. You were dead in trespasses and sins. You lived according to the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit now working in the disobedient. That is, you lived according to what the devil wanted. And you followed your own fleshly desires, verse 3. Following the way of the world, following the way of the rulers of the air, following your own desires. And that looks absolutely nothing like following Jesus. And so Satan thought you were his, and oh, it brought him so much pleasure to think that you were his and that he owned you forever. But you're not his. And you're not his because of faith. For you are saved by grace through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is God's gift. And so now as the devil looks at you and thinks of you, he is not filled with joy. He is filled with terror and envy. He's terrified because your faith has robbed his power over you. He's firing flaming arrow after arrow at you. And your faith, even if it is weak, if it is placed in Christ, it is extinguishing these arrows. What he'll do is to attack your faith. He will make you question and doubt your salvation. He'll say to you, Christian, do you really think you're saved? Do you remember what you were looking at online yesterday? Do you remember the way you were gossiping with your coworkers? Do you remember how often you have failed to pray? Do you remember how little you have cared about the least reached people groups? Do you really think you're saved? Do you really think your faith has saved you? Do you really think you now belong to the Lord Jesus? Or do you actually realize that you belong to me? Those are the doubts that he will cast upon you. And to those, to those doubts and to those attacks, to those arrows, Paul says, take up your shield of faith. Remember that your faith in Jesus Christ has saved you and that you are his. One of the other ways Satan will try to undermine your faith is by attacking our unity as believers and as a church. If you look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5 and then verse 13. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. And verse 13. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God's Son, growing into a maturity with a stature measured by Christ's fullness. Satan absolutely hates unity. And he absolutely loves to find believers who are on their own. But by having faith, that is not your story. That is not who you are. You are not alone. You are, by virtue of having faith, part of the big global church. And your faith is the thing that unites you with one another. As Sasha mentioned at the start, we all have different experiences. We've had different weeks. We look different ways. And you could find some common ground between some people, some very natural friendships and community. But across this room, there is one single thing that unites us in a deeper way than anything else could. That is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is faith that makes us brothers and sisters of one another, adopted children of the Father. And so we are united together because of what faith has done. And Satan hates it. Right throughout the scripture, he loves to find people alone or to isolate people that he may devour them. I think back to the garden, and he doesn't go off and speak to Adam and Eve together. He goes and finds Eve alone and speaks to her. I think of the story of Job. It takes away Job's family. It leaves Job with his friends, but his friends are pretty useless and do more harm than good. Think of him as he goes for Jesus. When Jesus is alone in the wilderness. Satan, prowling around like a lion, loves to find believers on their own because they are so much easier to devour. And so friends, as you think on taking up your shield of faith that Satan will not win, be united to one another. Be plugged in to the church. Be here each week. Get involved with things. Make sure you are not trying to do this Christian life by yourself, because Satan would look on that with joy, thinking he's got a chance there. But faith has joined you with one another, and so be with one another. Encourage one another, spur one another on, keep each other accountable, correct one another, rebuke one another. Make sure your Christian life is not a solo Christian life, but it is one together. That is the privilege that faith gives you. Getting to do this Christian life with your brothers and sisters. And so friends, you have a very great enemy. The devil, who is time after time firing flaming arrows at you, seeking to destroy you. So take up your shield of faith. However weak your faith is, do not worry. Just make sure your faith is placed in the immovable rock of Jesus Christ. And know that once you hold him up, Satan has no power over you. He cannot and will not destroy you. Because your faith is in Christ, the one who has defeated the devil. Because your faith has saved you. And because your faith has given you this church family of brothers and sisters to keep you safe from the enemy's attacks. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much that though our faith may be so often weak, you remain strong. Thank you so much that your Son Jesus in the wilderness did not yield to temptation, but remained steadfast. Thank you that the cross was not a defeat for you and a win for the devil, But there the devil was humiliated. As our debt of sin was paid and as your son Jesus rose again. Lord, thank you that Jesus is victorious. And so that we may hide behind him, that he may be our shield. Lord, thank you that faith in the Lord Jesus saves us. That we need not listen to the devil who would try to deceive us and pull us away. But we can hear what you have said to us, that we are now yours. And Lord, thank you that through faith we have the gift of one another. Lord, help us not take it for granted. Help us to rely on and delight in one another. Helping each other. Thank you for the shield of faith that you give us. That means the devil will not win, but that each of his flaming arrows will be extinguished because your son, Jesus Christ, is victorious. Amen.